We can go ahead and get started. Let's see. Rachel,
hello.
Can you open us up in prayer, please?
Lord, we thank you for this day and for all that you've given us, Lord, for bringing us here safely and for the word that you've given Ray to speak to us today. I just pray that you would anoint it and that it would speak to us and that we would take it and apply it to our lives and not just hear it and go and forget about it, and that you would bless the rest of the service. And thank you for the food, and I just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bob gave me a date to teach. I started thinking on what I can talk about. So I kept praying on it and praying on it. And then I got busy with work for about 3 weeks straight. I didn't leave my office. I just stayed in my office literally for 3 weeks straight. And after that, I said, okay, I got to, you know, start working on my teaching. I had no idea what God wanted to me to talk about. So I kept praying on it. And one day I was watching this show. I like watching. It's Forged by Fire. And it's a great show, and it's how they make these weapons and everything. So, and then about 3 or 4 days later, I'm sitting there, and I got my laptop, and, you know, I'm praying, I'm listening to praise and worship music, and, you know, I'm trying to think of what God wants to put in my heart, and that came to mind. So I said, okay, Lord, you know, how do you want me to put this together? So I kept praying on it, and things would come to mind. I started writing some notes down and stuff like that. So this is what God put in my heart. And Bob always says, be careful what you're going to teach on, because a lot of times, or most of the time, if not all the time, what you talk about, a lot of times you're going to go through. So you would think that I'd learned that from the last couple of times, and I didn't. So Bob always says, why don't you like teach on prosperity or something like that and see what happens. But anyways, the title I have is Fire Tested. Okay, and through our walk, a lot of times, we are going to get tested. Things are going to happen in our lives, and our faith is going to be tested. So, it says, I have a video to go along with this. Hopefully, it'll all kind of coincide. It says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. So, be truly glad. There's a wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And how many of us, you know, be truly glad? Be truly glad when you're going through the test. It takes, somebody says it takes them a while. Yes. It's the difficult time when you're going through something, you know, do you be glad about it? But I like what it says right here. It says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. Okay? When you're going through the test, that's when your faith needs to be kicked up a notch. That's when they find out how some people actually will say sometimes, what is it, when the rubber meets the road? Okay? It says, just like in our walk, in our lives, right, our regular lives, when we buy a new car, right, when we go to the dealership, we just jump in the first car we see and just take off on it, fine, I'll, you know, sign, and you go, right? Smart thing to do is what? You want to test it. You want to go for a nice little test drive, okay? You want to make sure that everything you want is in that car, right? You kind of look at it, okay, it has this, it has that. Okay, I want to drive it and see how it rides. Okay, how it works. All right, is it a smooth ride? Is it a rough ride? Whatever it is. Okay, you make sure you test the car and it has all the things that you want. And I put on here so that it meets our standard. Right? When we're test driving the car, we want to make sure it meets our standard. Okay, some people don't care. Some people, look, I just need a car with four wheels and a motor and a transmission, and that's all I care about. And they take off. And then it's 100 degrees outside, and they realize the car doesn't have air conditioning. Okay? And it says, in Christ, it's his standard we must meet. It said, being tested is more about staying faithful to Christ because he has a promise to those who don't give up. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Those are promises that God made to us. It says, so even though we're going through hard times, it says, fear not, I am with you. God doesn't lie. And God says he's going to be with you, he's going to be with you. And sometimes in our own minds, in our own weakness, we think that he stepped away, that he's no longer with us. And we're so wrong. Okay? He's always there with us. He's always being there to guide us. Sometimes we're just the ones that kind of like want to try and push him to the side and try to do things on our own. It says Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Now, a while ago I gave a teaching about not giving up. Right? And a lot of people do. It gets too difficult, they start going through a test, they start going through a trial, and all of a sudden they figure it's time to give up. And a lot of them do give up. Right? And they want to leave the church, or they want to leave their job, or they want to leave this, or whatever it is they want to do, they want to quit. That's it. I've had enough. I'm done. And oh, I don't like this. It's not going the way I want it. And they leave. You know, sometimes they'll blame somebody in the church. Sometimes they'll blame the pastors. Okay, sometimes they'll blame the elders, the deacons. Sometimes they'll blame God. They'll blame the musician. They'll blame the janitor. They'll find anybody to blame. All right? They'll find anybody to blame, okay, and they just want to leave. It says, through the Bible, we know stories, we read stories about Job, Abraham, and Paul. These are people that were tested. These were men that were tested, okay? And I don't know how many of us can go through the test that they went through and come out on the other side. You know, I don't know that I can't say that I can or go through the things that they went through. You know, and think about it. When they went through the things that they went through, and you know, we're talking some years and years ago, okay, where they didn't have, you know, cars and air conditioning and, you know, McDonald's, and they have all these, you know, comfort creatures that we have nowadays, all these things that we have nowadays to make our jobs easier or our walk a little bit easier. You know, we had, you know, they had the scrolls that they had to, you know, roll open and read through it and everything. You know, we got smartphones to sometimes do dumb things with. Okay? But we have all that access, and a lot of times, you know, we want to complain through the tests we're going through. We have all these comforts. Okay? They didn't have that. It says, our test is not a punishment, but a way to see where and in who our faith is in. A lot of times we go through something, and that's when you find out what your faith is in. You know? We go through a hard trial, and if it's something that might be physical or something that you're going through, a lot of times we want to go ahead and look for the answers with the wrong people. And I know Bob, last week when he taught, he was talking about, you know, when you seek advice, seek, you know, advice from the right people. Okay? When you're going to seek that, you make sure you're going to the right people for that. I think he mentioned, you know, you don't want to go to a bar and try and talk to the guy next to you at the bar about drinking. He's not going to give you the right advice.
Who should know more about it than a drunk?
All right. I think he also used a reference about a guy that was didn't want to go to him about marriage counseling. He wanted to go to a guy that's been married 5 times because he would know more. He was married 5 times. He should know more.
I've only had one wife. He had five. He had more.
Right? So a lot of times, right, you got to make sure that you're going to the right person for that. Instead, it helps us understand our weaknesses or our strengths. When you're going through a trial, you're going to find out what your weaknesses are or what your strengths are. Some people are very strong, okay? Everybody's walk is different. Everybody's at a step in their lives where it's different than others, okay? And when we're going through a trial, some people can go ahead and know exactly what to do and where to go, okay? Not all of us do that or get there or at that step in our lives, okay? So, but it helps us to know where we're at, okay? Are we strong in our walk? So we're going to go ahead and seek prayer, seek God's wisdom, okay? Or we're just going to give up and walk away and start asking for advice from the wrong people. Because a lot of times we do that. We'll go to somebody that we know is going to tell us that we're right.
Yeah.
A lot of times we do that. I've done that.
Yeah.
Because especially if it's a good friend. You want to go, you're going to go to your best friend. You know why? Because your best friend is going to give you the advice that you want to hear. Okay? We don't want to go to somebody in the church because they're going to tell you something you don't want to hear. Brother, you got to go through it. You got to seek prayer. You got to seek God. You got to read your word more. You got to get down to your knees and seek, you know, help from the pastors and everything. That means more involvement. That means I got to do a lot more. Can I just, like, go home and take it easy? You know, I'd rather go to my friend because I know that's the advice he or she's going to give me. Okay? So, and then some people are very weak. And as soon as they get that first trial, they're done. It's over. They want to walk away. Like I said, they want to leave the church. Okay? And that part, me personally, I just don't understand it. What did the church do to you? Absolutely nothing. What did God do to you? Absolutely nothing. Okay? You want to leave because you want to leave. Okay? And I know a lot of people that, you know, quit their jobs. They just quit. Why'd you quit? Oh, I don't like the way that guy was looking at me. You know, they give me too much work. Are you working? Yeah. Are you making money? Yeah. And your complaint is? I don't get that. I don't get that. It says that first.
Right.
Yes.
Sometimes the problem with that is like the people that leave church. They know there's plenty more churches. There was times when jobs are plentiful, people are more apt to quit. Back in the early 70s, you could get a job in any auto factory. We used to send out vans to pick up people out of the bar to get a day to run the line. I can count. It'd take two hands to count the times that I come back after lunch and we couldn't start the line because new people had just not come back after lunch. So sometimes the plentifulness is just that. Well, I don't need this because there's plenty more out there. But what makes the problem is not the church. It's you.
Yeah.
Where are we going to go? That's a question I always ask. Somebody says that. Well, I can't take this anymore. I got to quit. What are you going to? You're not going to die. You're going to go somewhere else. Is it going to be any easier there? No. If you don't handle your problems here, you just take them with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you want to see what the problem is, go look in a mirror.
It reminds me of a story when I used to coach football here at Melvindale. And I was working in the office. I was the liaison officer, and all of a sudden the sun got blocked out. And I looked up, and there was this, I thought it was a man, like in his 40s. And this guy was about 6'5", had a beard, tattoos all up and down his arms, and he says, "Are you the football coach?" Yeah, I thought maybe I had one of his kids. And he says, "I want to play football." And I'm thinking, "Buddy, you're too old. You're like 40 years old, you know." And he was a kid. He was a ninth grader, biggest kid I ever saw in my life. And I'm like, you know, I wanted to drop to my knees because the hallelujah chorus was resounding in my head. Like, you know, oh, my God, this guy's a monster, you know. And I said, "You ever play football before?" He goes, "No." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, well, he could be big, but, you know." So I told him, I said, "Well, I'm going to make you one promise. I'm going to promise you I'm going to work you harder than you've ever worked in your life. And before you tell me yes, you know, you better think about it." So he went, he came back, "Yeah, I want to play. So before practice, I had to come over to the church, and I went over by Betty's table, and I was looking out the window, and I saw him standing behind the car wash smoking a cigarette. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a great time with this guy today. So what happened was, you know, right before practice, I said, what was the one promise I made you? You're going to work me hard. And I said, you're right. So by the end of the practice, they did a run. We called it the Woolen Run. They would run for 15 minutes, but then they would stop, and they would do interval training and things like that. And so after the first lap, he's just dying. And we call him Jailbreak because he looked like he broke out of jail. Go, Jailbreak, how you feel? Oh, man. And he was ready to quit. And he came up and he told me, he says, I can't take this. I said, well, why don't you give it a little bit more, you know, because it was like the middle of the season. I said, we only got about 4 games to play. And he ended up sticking with it. But, you know, at the end of the year, he came up and he says that one moment he had to make that decision, you know, hey, am I going to wuss out or do you? Well, the funny thing about him, the very first time we put him in a game, he started a fight. I love that kid. Jailbreak, yeah. But it just shows, you know, that there's the times, you know, you're going to get pushed, you're going to get pushed, you're going to get pushed. It'd be very easy just to say. But that young kid, he was ready to walk off there. But he told, you know, he said, you know, that guy, and he didn't know me. And he just said, hey, you know, he told me before I even came out here what he was going to do. You know, so sometimes knowing that, and it helps you sometimes. Like, hey, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep pushing. And I don't care what happens. I'm not giving up. You remember the Cool Hand Luke movie? How many of you remember Cool Hand Luke?
Yeah.
Do you remember the boxing scene in there?
So remember the title. That's about it.
Yeah, Paul Newman's in jail, and they're having boxing on Sundays, and he's fighting with this, and this guy's just pulverizing him. You remember? He kept getting up. He kept getting up. And then finally, Paul Newman just swings, and he collapses, and the guy puts him over his shoulder and takes him in there, you know? And it's like, that's the attitude that we got to have, no matter how much we get beat down. And he kept telling him, you know, I'm coming, I'll come back at you. And he did. You got to watch the scene. It's really good, but it shows you the tenacity and the perseverance that we should have as believers when things get tough.
Amen. It says here, the more we are tested, the stronger we spiritually get. At first, we're like a piece of metal with no shape or purpose. Then one day, God calls us and we give ourselves to him. And it says to do what he wants for our lives. A lot of times we think that once we accept God in our lives, it's like, okay, now I know what I'm going to do. Okay, I'm good now. And I accepted God, my life from now on is going to be so much easier and so much better. Okay, well, to an extent, yes, because now you have somebody to go to when you are going through those trials, when you are going through those difficult times. You have somebody to go to. Before, you had nobody to go to, okay? And a lot of times that's what we see in the world is they have nobody to go to. So, unfortunately, a lot of them end up committing suicide. They go to drugs. They go to drinking, okay? And their lives become a mess because they had nobody to go to. We do. Amen? So he begins to make us into the instrument that he will use. Okay, so I around there. So he begins to make us into the instrument that he will use. It says on here, starts by putting us into the fire. How many saw that part where he grabs a piece of metal and he puts it into the fire? Okay. And he doesn't just go ahead and put it in there and takes it out real quick. He leaves it in there till it gets red hot. I mean, it's in there for a while. Okay. And a lot of times, it's like our walk. Okay. Sometimes we just want to we just want to go through a little trial real quick and get back out. Whew, that was close. Oh, I only had to suffer for about 10 minutes. And you know what? But sometimes he'll go ahead and grab us and put it into that fire and leave us in there for a little bit, okay? And leave us in there for a little bit. And leave us in there for a little bit, okay? And we're just like, how long more can I take of this? How much more can I take of this? Okay, sometimes God will allow us to go through things in our life. And I said before, it's not because of a punishment, okay? It's because he wants to do something in your life that he needs you to get rid of all that junk first. Okay? Because he has a purpose. The Bible says, for I know the plans I have for you. It doesn't say, for Ray knows what he's going to do with the rest of his life. Right? Some people think that. You know, you ask them, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Oh, they got this list.
A bucket list.
And sometimes, okay, you have goals in your life, and it's okay to have goals in your life, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. You should have some goals in your life, okay? But sometimes, you know, God has other plans, and sometimes he's going to take you somewhere else that might make you feel a little uncomfortable, all right? But again, it's not a punishment. It says, he starts by putting us in fire, and I put why? It says, to become a little softer. When you put the metal into the fire, it makes it a little bit softer, okay? So he can go and start doing what he wants to do, all right? And that's why he puts you in the fire. He knows what he's doing. He knows the plans he has for you. So he puts you in the fire for a while, okay? To soften you up a little bit, okay? Because a lot of times we just think we're a little bit bigger than God. You know, we think we got it all. You know, I got successful. I got, the $2.2 billion house. I got the yacht. I got this. What do I need God for? I have everything I want. There's a lot of I's in there. There's a lot of me's in there. Okay, nowhere in there are you mentioning God. And that's a problem, because what happens if that goes away? If you lose all that, a lot of people just can't take it. You know what? Yes. No.
Yeah, you look at a lot of these people in Hollywood. And I don't know if he's got AIDS or what, but he looks absolutely horrible. But here he was, somebody at the height, pinnacle of, you know, of fame, making movies, comedy, and what have you. And now he's... Every other day he's coming out with a painting. Looks like it's done by a third grader, you know, of some type of left-wing cause that he's attacking. And you think to yourself, this is all he's got left, you know. And we see it with a lot of people. And like you were saying, Rafe, if God's not there, that purpose just, you know, they're grasping for things to have some type of meaning, to get back into the limelight, to be popular again. And, you know, it fades after a while. But we're given the promise by God, you know, that he'd never leave us, never forsake us. And, you know, you feel sorry for these people because you go, what is going through their head? Who was the chef that took his life not too long ago? He was a famous chef. Yeah, you know, this guy, I mean, how much money did this guy have? But what was it that pushed him over, you know? So how important it is, like you're saying there, that when he puts us in the fire, it's there to soften us, to mold us, to pound on us, but to make us ready for battle.
It says he starts putting us in the fire. Why? To become a little softer. Our hearts were hard when we didn't serve him. Jeremiah 24:7, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am their the Lord, that will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their hearts. And this is why he puts us through the fire, like Pastor Don said. Okay? He puts us in there because sometimes we need to go through the fire. Okay? Sometimes we get a little relaxed, a little too relaxed. Okay? And sometimes God needs to put us through the fire. Okay? So we come to our senses to realize, you know what? I have to have God. Not that we just need him in my life. I have to have God in my life. I have to. You know, it's not a question just of needing, okay? It's a question, it's a must. I have to have God in my heart. I have to be walking his way. I have to be doing things that he wants me to do. Because if not, it's guaranteed that your life is just going to be hectic. And then when it comes times when you go through those trials or your life is being tested, you're not going to make through it. You're not going to come to the other side. Why? Because you're not connected. You don't have that relationship with God. Okay? It's like, you know, Pastor Don says, you know, with his girls with softball, okay, he sees them there all the time. He sees them there practicing. He knows what they're doing. Okay, does he put them through the test? Of course he does. Okay, it's the ones that stick with it that get to play in the game.
Yeah, I got a couple new girls, and we started kind of a fall practice. We just go twice, and so the two new girls, one came from Cass Tech, and the other one is a freshman coming to the school. So the first day we practice on Monday, it wasn't very hard, but you could just see it in these girls' faces, like, what did I get myself into? But at the end of the day, I asked them, I said, do you guys ever do anything like that? They go, no, Coach, we never did anything like this. And you could see, though they worked hard, they enjoyed it. And I said, do you think you got a little bit better today? And they go, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, so sometimes we say yes, but we don't know what we're getting ourselves involved in, right?
Amen. Okay, how would you like to go through a life like that? When you're constantly getting just beat. And how many times has we gone through that? Right? Where every day it just seems like something else is happening. Okay? But God's making us into something here. Okay? And sometimes he needs to kind of beat on us a little bit. Okay? Because sometimes our pride, our arrogance, our greed, our selfishness starts kind of taking over. And then God needs to come down with a hammer sometimes and kind of just give us a few little taps to straighten us out. And that's what he's doing. This guy's tapping. And some of that, and the reason why some of that is he's doing that, is to get the impurities from the top. So when he puts it under fire, the impurities start coming out. The junk starts coming out. Okay? And then one way to do it, so he's doing two things. By beating on it, he's actually shaping it, but at the same time, he's getting all those impurities that's on the surface. And a lot of times, we have a lot of impurities in our lives, in our walk. And God needs to, what? Pound those off. Okay, and again, it's not because he's punishing this piece of metal. Okay, he has a purpose. He has a plan for this piece of metal. Okay, just like God has a purpose for what he's doing in our walk. And sometimes, again, he needs to beat us down a little bit. But at the same time, he's getting all those impurities off of us. He's cleaning us up. Okay? Does it seem like he's doing, you know, something that's good? No. We don't like being beat down like that. But God has a reason why he's doing it. Okay? Again, he has a purpose. He's going to make something out of this piece of metal when he first started off. At first, it was just a piece of metal. Didn't have no shape, didn't have anything. You can throw it down. Nobody knows what it's going to be used for. It could be used for anything. Okay? But then God starts shaping us. He starts tapping on us and knocking on us and pounding on us. Because a lot of times we need a little pounding. Okay? Because we start kind of walking away a little bit. And he kind of, wait a minute. It's like when we do with our kids, right? Our kids start getting out of line a little bit and we're like, boom. Right? Because a lot of times they just don't get, honey, don't do that. Honey, don't do that. Right? After a while, the kid looks at you like, I know, don't do that. I'm going to do it anyways. Okay, now what happens when you kind of like, and that's a little tap. Now they look at mom and dad. Right? Now they look at mom and dad like, okay, mom and dad mean business now. Okay, mom and dad ain't playing no more. All right, and I noticed that he ain't talking. I got whacked. Okay, mom and dad mean business. Well, our father means business. And sometimes we need a nice little pounding. Okay, and he's doing it for two reasons again. One, is he shaping us? Two, he's getting all the impurities off of our lives. And he starts shaping us. He starts by pounding away all the ugly, worldly stuff we have on us. Pride. Hate for others, selfishness, greed, loose tongue. Okay? And all of us, unfortunately, have that. Okay, a lot of us have a lot of those things still on us. Some of those are impurities that are in our lives. A lot of us have a lot of that junk still on us. Okay, and God starts piling that away. Do we like it? Nah. We don't like when God's kind of, you know, disciplining us. We don't like that. All of a sudden, he's a mean God. You know, why is God doing this? Does he know what I'm going through? Like, yeah. He's the one that's making you go through it. He knows what you're doing. All right, and again, he makes us go through the fire again. And he takes us right back out to do what? To pound on us again. Right? And just when we think, oh man, this test is over. No, it's not over. God's not done yet. It's not done yet. We still have a little ugliness on us. We're still not shaped right. All right? We think we are. We think, well, I go to church on Sundays. I'm good. All right? I go to a few home groups. I volunteer here and there once in a while. I'm good. No, you're not. No, you're not. We're not there yet. So God needs to, again, start pounding away, keep shaping us into what he wants us to be. It's not what I want to be. Okay? It's what God wants me to be. He has a purpose and a plan for my life. Okay? And then sometimes we have all this junk still on us, and God starts pounding that away. We don't like it. Okay? We don't like when God has to do that. And it says, it's hard. He keeps putting us into the fire and pounding away. It's too hot. It's too much. We don't like it. How's your faith so far? Okay? He's putting us through this test. He's pounding us. We're going through all these trials. We're going through all these tests and everything. You know, it's just way too much. Why is God putting me through this fire so much? Why am I going in and out and in and out? Why is God doing this to me? Why am I going through this? Why? You think you're special? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we think we're so special. You know? Sometimes we're like some people, the criminals, they think they're above the law. Okay? Well, we think that, you know what? Since we do these things within the church, we're exempt from tests. We're exempt from trials. We're not. It says Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And I got another version I put here. It says, for it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. It says he is now making you into a man or woman of God. A loving person, an unselfish person, kind to others, joy in your heart. I know that Bob taught on that the other day about joy. It says a tongue that will speak of God's word, willing to sacrifice for him. How many times are you willing to sacrifice for God? Okay? You know, a lot of times we get relaxed and everything, and then something happens, and it's like, well, it's an inconvenience, and all of a sudden, the game is on. Okay? I got tickets to something. I'm watching this. You know, there's a movie that's going to come on. I don't want to miss it. Put it on DVR. Watch it later. The process does not happen overnight. The Holy Spirit, he continues to work on us. The shaping is taking place. It says we are slowly looking like the Christians we should be like. And I put it on there. All right, that's where he's starting to sharpen you. He's formed you. He's not done yet, though. Now he's shaping you up, and he's giving you a nice edge. Okay, he wants you to be sharp, not to just to look sharp. Okay, I do that when I'm playing golf. Okay, a lot of times I'll go play golf, and my appearance says, this guy's a great golfer. No, I just look good playing golf. Doesn't make me a great golfer, okay, though I wish it did. Okay, but I looked the part, all right? I looked the part. But that's not how it works here. It says he's shaping us. We are slowly looking like the true Christians. People are starting to see the change in our lives. Should there be a change in our lives?
Yes.
It should be. It should be. People should notice a difference in our walk, in our lives. It says they are seeing that we are actions, that our actions, they can see Christ in us. Okay? Again, and I know Bob talked about this the other day, it's not just what you say, it's what you do. All right? It's not what you say, it's what you do. Okay? I know a guy that does my hair, there's a person that walks in there all the time and says, God loves you, Jesus loves you. Okay? And 5 minutes after that, he's cussing. All right? Or he's checking out some of the girls in there, yet he calls himself a Christian. See, there's a difference there. There's a big difference. People see, he says one thing but does something else. So that person is basing his opinion on what he sees, what that person does, not what he's saying. It says that they are seeing that we are, that our actions, they can see Christ in us. 1 John 3:18, I'm going to hurry up a little bit here. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. That's in 1 John 3:18. So I didn't come up with that phrase about, you know, it's what we do, not so much what we say. I didn't come up with that. That's in the Bible, 1 John 3:18. And in James 2:17. In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied, I'm sorry, faith by itself is not, it is not accompanied by action, it is dead. Okay, so if you have no action with your faith, it is dead. Your actions, what you do is dead. Your faith. You can believe all you want, but if you're doing something that's totally different, then again, what you're saying, what you're doing are two different things. Your actions should back up what you say. Or what you say, you should back it up with your actions. You want people to start knowing who God is through you? Show them. Don't just tell them. Okay, I can tell them, you know, how many times, I think Bob mentioned one time, about being in a bar and some guy saying he's Christian as he's ordering shots. All right, I mean, as the person that is out there, so 2 days later he's trying to witness to somebody, and they're like, didn't I just see you kind of stumble out of that one bar in the corner called Carnival Bar? It's in Southwest Detroit. That's. I think they were going to declare that a historic corner at one point.
They should declare it something.
Yeah. They said, okay, it's done. We're not walking and doing what God has made us to do. Time for the test. How will you do? When God does something, he does it right. The pastor needs people to be at church for a special service. Brother needs help, or there's a church event, but you just got a new grill and you bought some T-bone steaks. Or you just worked so hard and so long. Or do we quote scriptures we don't practice, like in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his one friends. A lot of times people do that. They memorize scriptures. But again, they'll say them, but their actions say something totally different. Says, you've lost your job, you don't get the promotion you thought you deserved. Your family wants nothing to do with you because you gave your heart to the Lord. You were asked to do something in church that you really didn't want to do. You got into an argument with another brother or sister for something you thought you were right about. And now the pastors had to discipline you for something you did. All this happened on Monday. All everything that happened, happened in one day. How's your faith doing? Do you walk away from God? Do you give up? Just like in the sword, it had a few scratches when being tested, but it did not break. In our walk, yeah, we're going to have some scratches. It's a good sign to have some scarf marks. Okay? You were tested. You didn't break. I mean, that's a good thing. That's a positive thing.
Battle scars.
Okay? A lot of people don't have battle scars. Okay? You know, they just got a little dirt. Okay? They don't have no battle scars. Sometimes we get tested, okay, and we just give up. We're not willing to fight through it. We're not willing to continue to say, God, no matter what it is I'm going to go through, I'm going to continue to serve you because I know at the end you have something for me. Because you have a promise. You promised me that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I'm going to take that to heart. So whatever I'm going through, whatever we're going through, God is with you every single day. And sometimes God is making us go through something because he has a plan. He was shaping you. He's shaping you. He's putting you through the fire because he wants to soften you a little bit. He's beating you up because he wants to get all that junk off of you. It's not a punishment. He has a plan for our lives. He wants to use you. He wants to create a weapon that is able to go out there and fight the enemy. People think that we're just, you know, a little something with the enemy. No, we're at war. We're at war with the devil. Do you think he's going to take a break? Do you think he's going to be soft on you? No, he's not. He's going to throw everything that he can on you every single day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He doesn't stop. He's not going to stop. So why should we? Bob said one time, the armor of God, put it on. Why are you going to take it off? Why should you take it off? The enemy's there attacking you every single day. Okay, he's going to wait for you to take it off, and now you don't have it on. Okay, spiritually, have it on every single day. Because the enemy every single day is going to attack you. And God sometimes is going to make you go through something. You know why? He's not punishing you. He wants to make you stronger. Because through that test, we're going to come out on the other side. We're going to come out stronger. Okay? Just like when you're jogging. Okay, the first time you might just go maybe 2 blocks. The next day you go 3 blocks, then 4 blocks, then 5 blocks. Now you're doing 1/2 mile. Then you're doing 1 mile. Then you're doing 5 miles. You know why? Because you didn't give up. Every day you got up and went further and further and further. So it's just like the sword that had a few scratches when being tested, but it did not break. And now we are the weapon that God created, filled with the Holy Spirit and willing and able to do whatever he asks us to do, to fight the good fight. James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because having stood the test, that person, you and I, will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. We're going to get tested. Every day something's going to happen in our lives. It's whether or not you fight through it to come out to the other side. You have to trust in God. You have to serve God. You have to have a relationship with God. Okay? And just because you're going through something, don't give up. Remember that God gave us a promise. And just like that sword, yeah, I got beat down. But God was doing something in our lives. Every day, he might need to pound on us a little bit harder. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, why is God really pounding on me this hard? Sometimes you have junk on us. He needs to get it out. Or you know what? He has a plan for you. He's going to make you into that beautiful, shiny sword to use for his kingdom. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's all I have. Amen. So don't forget downstairs prayer. Thank my technical guy here with the videos.